This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are listening to Checkpoint Intimates, where two of the members of the Checkpoint team get one-on-one and real intimate about one very intimate topic. I'm joined today by Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hello.
And you probably recognize my voice. This is Cameron. And today we're getting intimate about cooperative things. We're getting intimate about Left 4 Dead clones. For those that don't know, Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2 were two very popular games that focused on four-player cooperative gaming. As you kind of made your way through a level dealing with AI enemies as they rush towards you. And there's definitely been other kind of cooperative games, but this one was one that really took the industry by storm. It's one that really took off. Now, it's developed by Valve. And those that don't know, Valve is, you know, the people behind Steam and all of that kind of stuff.
Half-Life, more importantly.
Half-Life and all that. And you, people will know that they don't really make games anymore. So what that means is there's just not been much action in towards a Left 4 Dead sequel, a third installment in the Left 4 Dead franchise. And for a game that was so popular, that has left a big opening in the market. Now, the last installment came out in 2009, so that's almost 9 years. No, that is 9 years.
It is 9 years.
It's almost 10 years. It's almost a decade without this franchise that kind of, you know, it just blew up. You couldn't go anywhere without hearing about Left 4 Dead. It was massive. So now that, you know, there's been this space, one of the biggest things we've noticed, especially I would say in the last couple of years, is games filling that void. Games jumping in to take over. Have you ever played Left 4 Dead at all, Jason?
When Left 4 Dead 1 came out, we played a lot with my friends, and it was a lot of fun, mostly because it is cooperative, but it's only four people. But
yeah,
they're all your friends. There's no enemy team. The enemy team is AI. So it's a little bit more predictable, and it's a little bit more... the skill level is always going to be the same.
Yeah, and I think one of the big things about it is that it throws this idea of manicness at you. The whole point is that the enemies may not be the most difficult thing to kill, but they ramp up.
And there's just so many of them.
And the wave modes. So if you listen to the main show, you'd know that myself and Elliot play a lot of Vermintide 2. Now, this, I think, feels like the game that is the spiritual successor, in a sense, to Left 4 Dead. It's got that four-player co-op that is kind of like... It's the perfect size for a team.
Yeah, I think four players is pretty nice because anything bigger than that, it's kind of hard to maintain. Anything smaller, it's too many enemies.
And four friends is easy to put together, exactly. I feel, when you're playing online. So I play a lot of Destiny 2. What a shock. That's come up in another podcast. But when I try and do the raid and get six people...
It's too many.
Oh my God, it's like pulling my teeth. But getting four people to play, you know, just a strike or something... Or do some, you know, Crucible. So easy. So these games that are more focused on the much smaller, more intimate cooperative experience, perfect fit. I think the other thing that is really indicative of the genre that has kind of been born from these Left 4 Dead clones, because that's the thing, it's its own genre now, I feel. Like, it's not just, you know, clones. I think that right now you could say that, you know, cooperative four-person...
It's almost like cooperative single-player kind of games. It's really strange.
It doesn't have a name. It should probably have a name. A name will probably appear in the near future because more and more are coming out based around this idea. But it's that idea that you have these waves that just kind of hit you. You go from point A to point B. You're stuck in a level. You need to get from here to there. That's the main thing. And it's the matter of huge numbers of AI. It doesn't need to be the smartest AI, but it needs to like hit you with wave after wave. And then usually they'll throw in some special enemies that are randomized. I think that's the other thing. A lot of it's quite random with how the enemies interact. So you can run the same levels over and over. And these special characters, you can always, you can always guarantee the kind of characters you're going to get with these special enemies. You've got the enemy that grabs you by the neck and tries to pull you away.
You've got a long-range enemy?
Yeah, you've got a long-range enemy. You've got the enemy that jumps on you and pins you down.
Of course.
You've got the enemy that kind of drags you away. You've got the big enemy that will explode. Like, all these enemies, you see them all over the place. Now, I think the interesting thing is right now, we've been playing two games quite a lot recently. Vermintide, which is a very good representation of how to take that genre and update it and bring something new to it and change how the game works. And most recently, we had Earthfall release that Omi reviewed as I played with him, as did Elliot. And it was essentially Left 4 Dead, copy and paste, put in an alien instead of a zombie, but lose all character. And so it's that thing is like, that feels like a cash-in on a popular genre.
It's like copying a tape to another tape, which you're probably too young to have done, so never mind.
I don't know if you realize how old I am, but sure, because I definitely did that. wow, that's a lovely compliment on my youthful visage, which I don't believe in because I've got more grays than you, mate.
I just want to come back for another show.
Oh, that's what it is. But you've got other ones coming up, other ones that have been out in the past, things like Dead Island. Did you ever play the Dead Island series?
I played for about 10 minutes and it wouldn't run on my computer, so I gave up.
Oh, you're missing out. It's so good. It's one that kind of took this idea a bit of the four-player co-op, but instead expanded it into much more of an open world. Like, there was a lot more going on. It wasn't just kind of linear from one point to two, but you could get swarmed very easily. And there were these kind of variations upon a zombie that were more threatening to you. And that went and traveled through to Dying Light, which, yes, again, had a really cooperative... Like, a lot of these games worth more fun if you played them cooperatively.
Yeah, so there's kind of game that you can play on your own.
Yeah.
But it's kind of not the purpose of it.
Other things like Call of Duty Zombies, I feel, was... it was related around the same time to the Left 4 Dead franchise's boom. That kind of waves of enemies coming at you and holding off. So it's that matter of what is it about these cooperative games against large AI numbers? What is it that gets us super excited about it?
Well, for me, I think it's the fact that you're fighting the game. Mm-hmm. It's just like any single-player game, which I love single-player games more than multiplayer games for a multitude of reasons, but the main one is you're fighting enemies that have been written to act and to attack you in a certain way, and you're fighting that game. Whereas if you play a game like, say, Call of Duty, not zombies, then you're fighting other people, and they generally do somewhat limited amount of things. So,
well, I think it's also that thing of, it can feel, skill level feels more fair when you're playing the game.
Exactly, because it can sort of ramp up or ramp down considering like your own skill level.
Yeah, you're not immediately put against a player that is you're outclassed against from the very beginning. AI is, at least for the most part, fairly predictable.
Mm.
And it's more about learning your character and learning how you play and how you can utilize. And here's the big thing, I think, is it's how you utilize your character amongst this cooperative field. So my husband and I, we play a lot of cooperative games together. And this is one of those examples where he's really likes to stand back these days. It used to be the other way. I used to always be like sniper up the back and he'd get in there and get messy. And somewhere in the last 10 years, it's swapped. And so now I am always like up in the face of everyone. Just like I'm at the front line. Nothing gets past me. And he'll be behind like taking stuff off. When I play with Elliot, Elliot loves to run off. He's very much, I'm a lone wolf. So he plays a lot of the characters that can kind of, you know, sneak around, survive on their own, and make it back with no trouble. And I think that's the big thing, is that we as gamers have different strengths and weaknesses. And a lot of these games rely on that. We're not all going to play it the same way.
No.
Like, you and I going up against the same enemy, we may approach it completely differently. And this kind of genre, I think, ties into that the most. And there's just a good camaraderie that comes with it. Like, there's a lot of enjoyability, I think, with playing with others, and you're all... It's hectic.
Exactly. And if you have four people who have four different play styles and you all come together, chances are you're going to sort of fill in each other's blanks.
Mm.
And then you can go and, oh, I'm going to attack the big guy from behind. You're going to go from the front. You're going to go long range. And we have this nice balance and I'm down and this guy's going to come over from the side who's going to sneak in and drag me away and help me out. And it's fantastic. It's all really fun and frenetic.
It ties into, I think, those best moments in a lot of MMOs where you get to properly fill a role that all works together in a larger cog to make things happen.
Yeah, exactly. You feel useful amongst a bigger team, and it's great. Yeah.
And with these games, there's that thing of when one of the special enemies kind of grabs you. And there's that franticness as you cry out for your friends to be like, it's got me, it's dragging me away. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And you can just see your friends like trying to get through swathes of zombies or rats or aliens, and they're like, no, 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 no. And they're cutting through it as quickly as possible to try and get to you. And there's just something about watching that happen that makes you go, I'm part of a team. And I think that's the big thing. It's the teamwork that comes with it. I think these kind of games fail when you have someone who is carrying lone wolf running. Like, there's a difference between Elliot running off and attacking things from a different angle to someone who has run like two levels ahead of you and you're stuffed.
Yeah, he's playing the cooperative game on his own while you three are playing together kind of thing.
And you can't avoid it. They do appear in these games. Like, I've played Vermintide where I'm getting dragged away by the enemy and, you know, the person... I've got bots trying to help me, but bots can only do so much. Mm. And the only other real person that was in my game is trying to take on the boss that's so far away, it's crazy. And I was like, well, this is fun. I'm enjoying this. And it's that thing of, like, the teamwork is a necessary part of being built into this. Now, I think there's one developer that I find quite interesting, which is Overkill. I don't know if you're familiar with their work. They did Payday 1 and 2.
Payday 2 I had played quite a bit of, and I find that very good.
It follows a kind of similar-ish kind of style thing. You know, you're a group, you've got to go in, rob a bank, and get out, and you kind of have that, you know, you've got to do certain checkpoints to get through this. It's a heist game, and there's a lot of the similarities that we love in these games in those games. Now, Overkill actually have two games coming out in the near future. They have GTFO, and they have Overkill's Walking Dead. Both of these games follow this exact same kind of thing. GTFO is very Payday 2 meets Aliens, kind of trying to get into a vault and there's aliens everywhere and you got to hold off. So it's a very familiar space. Whereas Overkill's Walking Dead, like when I first saw gameplay, because we didn't see gameplay for a good 2 years after it was first announced. When we finally saw gameplay, I was like, this is like a slow-paced Left 4 Dead. There's that kind of... You know, you've got to get from point A to point B. There's heaps of enemies. You need to be really resourceful about what you're doing. And so it's that thing of like, is this a situation where a developer has found a very safe space? And why is this such a successful brand for them?
Well, I think for them, the fact that they made Payday 1 and 2, and it was just, that was out of nowhere. Like, it is a Left 4 Dead-ish kind of game, but it is that villainous role. You are robbing a bank and there's many levels of things you can do, and everyone does have a very, very specific role.
It's a definite sleeper hit.
Yeah. It's a fantastic game, and if you haven't played it, you really should. It was free for a while as well, which is great.
I think
it might
so.
Still be. But if they can keep doing that with the Walking Dead franchise, where, you know, if you've seen the series, everyone does have their role. You have the fast people, the slow people, people with big guns, people with no guns, people with swords, crossbows.
Yep.
So I think that does sort of fit the Payday 2 formula, and I think they will be able to do that very well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, they've really found a niche in their market. GTFO looks actually heaps of fun from the very small amount of footage that we've seen. It looks like they've taken what they've learnt from Payday and put it into a new kind of area. But it is that kind of games that are built around this kind of four-person cooperative, I think, work just really well. And there's an industry out there that's looking for them. Because that's the thing. Left 4 Dead 3, I don't think we'll ever see.
Not in our lifetime, no.
It's the Half-Life 3. It's, you know, Team Fortress 3. Like, they hate the number 3. Like, Valve hates 3s.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to it. I don't think fans of that franchise will ever get something. But it has such a huge... like, backing. People love Left 4 Dead. It's up there as one of, like, the games that kind of shaped our generation of gaming, because it definitely got co-op right.
It definitely sort of took it in that right direction, where it wasn't just, it's you playing a single-player game with four people. It's you're playing a game crafted for four people, but it acts like a single-player game.
Yeah.
It's the other way around.
Yeah, and that ability to craft a really good story, but based only in, like, a couple of really quick levels.
Yeah.
And so fans love that. It changed, I think, cooperative gaming in a big way. and people still talk about it. People still play Left 4 Dead 2
exactly.
today. It still has a huge player base. So those people are looking for these games. And so like things like Vermintide 1 and 2, you know, fill that kind of gap. Then you've got things like Earthfall that I think are really just taking that cash grab that comes from a, you know, a genre that's doing well. It's the Battle Royale.
Exactly. Except, you know, Fortnite did it right, I guess.
Yeah.
Good on them.
But like it's that thing where like people saw like, oh, this is going really well. I will release a Battle Royale. This feels like everyone likes Left 4 Dead 2. I will release Left 4 Aliens 2. Yes, that will go well.
You should get them to change the name to Left 4 Alien.
Left 4 Alien. Yeah. Well, I'll speak to them directly. I'll give them a call up and be like, hey guys. Just a thought. But it's that kind of cooperative games. And we've got other ones coming out in the future. There's going to be another Dead Island, apparently. There's another Dying Light coming that looks amazing.
Awesome.
You've got Strange Brigade. It's a little bit different, but a bit similar. Have you seen gameplay of that?
I have not yet, no.
So it's much more kind of that old pulp fiction-y movies of the of the 20s, and you're off to exotic lands to deal with exotic things. Very, what's his name? Indiana Jones.
Yep.
But it's more kind of over the shoulder. But again, it's that four players getting through a level together. I think the reality is that the cooperative side of these games means there's always a market for those smaller cooperative experiences.
And I think the more that cooperative games are kind of phased out, like even COD Zombies no longer has couch co-op. That's gone now.
Yep.
And the more that gets phased out, the more people are going to turn to these games because they can't find them anywhere because they're not coming out. So having 2-3 a year, like Overkill, they've really dug the trenches in and really gotten good.
Yeah, if they're investing themselves into making a game like this, there's not that big competition in the market right
exactly.
now. Like, it's not like there's a juggernaut that owns it either. Left 4 Dead is old enough that people are willing to move on.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big thing is, you know, Vermintide's great, but it hasn't taken over the market as a whole. It's it's still a very particular experience for people.
Whereas Payday 2 kind of, that doesn't have a market to compete against, really, does it? And they've cornered the market that doesn't exist, and they've done a really good job about that.
And I think that's the big thing is these experiences are demanded, and if a game can come out like Fortnite did for Battle Royale, they'll soak it up. I think the closest we've ever gotten to a big juggernaut with four-player co-op was maybe something like Borderlands. And I think that's as close as we've gotten to something. But I'm not saying it succeeded. I'm talking a big
it
game.
It tried.
It definitely tried. But like, it's those kind of experiences that I think we all still want.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We all like playing with our friends.
Yeah, exactly. And just a nice, close little group. There's no politics. Oh, I love it. I'm here for it. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Jason.
Thank you for having me.
I've been Cameron, and you guys have been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. You can listen to heaps more episodes of Checkpoint Intimates, as well as the main show. Check it out on checkpointgaming.net or over on iTunes.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.